Well, you're listening to Stages, and this evening we are talking with Kate Gall. She's a director, playwright, festival director. She's worked with Opera Australia, assistant director to Rigoletto and Handel Opera's Ada, Pinchgut Opera. She's worked with creative director of Mardi Gras in 2015 and 16. I recently recall, well, not recently, actually, when you look at the dates, the Ham Funeral at Griffin Theatre and the Trouble with Harriet Reginald Theatre. She has her own theatre company, Siren Theatre Company. And yes, she's here to talk with us about her life and these strange times. Welcome to Stages, Kate.
Well, thank you very much for asking. It's a pleasure to be here.
Loving to keep things alive and people talking about theatre while it's so dark, and you post some great things, and we'll get into some things that you've seen. But before we do that, I want to get a little sense of how you came to be a director, where you're from, and, you know, where you grew up and where your parents created.
Well, where shall we start? Well, I actually grew up in the Derwent Valley in Tasmania. I was on a farm outside New Norfolk, which is about 30 to 40 minutes from Hobart. I went to university in Hobart, and I came to Sydney to go to NIDA to do the directing course a long time ago, back in 1996. So my parents were farmers. I came from a farming family.
Wow. So what do you think? Did you remember seeing any theatre growing up, or was it... What was it like?
Well, I was wondering when my first arts experiences might have been. I mean, I think we were creating theatre and puppet shows and entertainments for family and friends way before I probably had seen any theatre. It's kind of what you do on a farm, I guess, when you live in sort of a remote place. But I did go to a fabulous school. I went to St. Michael's Collegiate School in Hobart, and we had a really, really active drama department. I didn't participate in the drama department at school, but I did go on a school trip to the Adelaide Festival, and I do credit that with being, you know, one of the handful of really pivotal moments in my life growing up. You know, I still remember arriving in Adelaide. I think it was probably my first trip out of Tasmania, believe it or not, you know, as a teenager. It was very hot, I recall, but we went to a matinee. It was of an Australian play called Rockola. I can still see it in my mind's eye.
Wow.
Jackie Weaver and Chris McQuaid were the two women in it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was a Brian Thompson design, so it was really, you know, pop art, very bold. I remember walking into that theatre and thinking, I have found my tribe. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know there's people out there that I want to work with or be with. And it really transformed me, you know, as a young person. And I started participating in drama classes at school and, you know, became completely obsessed. Yeah. So it was really a trip to the Adelaide Festival. It was moving outside my patch, moving outside Hobart. Although we did see a lot of touring work come into Hobart, particularly from Playbox. So I really grew up with a strong knowledge of Australian repertoire, which I think has served me well. And it's continued my interest in Australian work, of course. But going to Adelaide was just mind-boggling.
Wow. I have so many questions. So I wonder if that has sort of influenced your... You have such a diverse catalogue of work, from opera to stage, your own theatre company, pushing boundaries and things like that. Do you think there is a sort of a sense of, not festival about it, but that flamboyancy or something?
Yeah, I think I just hadn't encountered anything like that, or just even the vibe of Adelaide as it was, and I think as it started to return again. You know, it was such an important festival, international festival.
Mm.
I mean, it probably gave me a taste for international work generally. Mm-hmm. I still love going to festivals. I just love seeing things that come from very different cultures, very different sort of working practices, very different aesthetics, different political situations. And back in those days in Adelaide, we were certainly exposed to the whole gamut of those things. And when you're young and impressionable, you just take it all in like a sponge.
Mm. So when you came to Sydney and you did the director's course and came out of that, how was it, you know, transitioning into professional work?
I'd always worked in the theatre. I did go to university and studied, but I ended up working in a professional theatre company, and I started as a stage manager. So I have literally always worked in the theatre at some level. So my knowledge of how theatre was created and what the industry is like was pretty well formed to some extent. I wanted to obviously work in a much bigger town that has a bigger critical mass of people and was a more, what I believed, critically attuned environment. And so Sydney was the natural place to do that in Sydney. It was also quite unusual for people from Tassie to come to Sydney. They normally ended up in Melbourne. And I really just didn't want to be anywhere where I knew, you know, 60% of the population. I just wanted to go somewhere very different and somewhere challenging. I created Siren Theatre Company really in order to build a body of work so that people would know, oh, that's the kind of thing you're interested in. Oh, those are the kinds of people you like to work with. Oh, that's the sort of writing that turns you on. It's very hard for directors to move into freelance work unless they've got a calling card, and your work has to be that, I think. So I started creating my own work. I mean, I had an aptitude towards producing. I had done a lot of that before. I didn't particularly want to do it, but it's a matter of necessity, isn't it? How will people know what you can do or want to do or what your style is if you don't put it out there?
So how? What would you say your style is?
That would be for others to describe. I have a passion for text-based theatre.
Okay.
But it's not the only thing I do.
Sure. So when you say there's something that you want to do, how would you treat it for, you know, I mean, I know everything is different, but do you have a general kind of rule of thumb, the way that you approach work?
I would read for story to start with.
Okay.
And or more generally, what is this about? And that might mean, oh, there's no actual story, but there's more of a theme-based play or piece. Or, oh, actually, this is a musical. This requires spectacle. I guess I would try and find out what's driving the piece and whether that appeals to me. That's, I guess, my process in a way. And always it's got to be about whether I can find something in it that I want to share with other people, definitely.
And does it need to challenge you then too, obviously?
Always. Look, I count every moment as absolutely precious. I just don't want to waste any time doing things that don't challenge me.
So you talk about the people that you work with too. Do you have a kind of a community, or not community, but a company?
Look, when I started working in Sydney, I did attract various actors to my rehearsal room, I guess, and we worked together, you know, more or less as a core for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
I love maintaining long-term relationships with actors and other creatives. You always hear people talking about a creative shorthand. But I also think that your close colleagues also challenge you more as well. Like, they can spot the bullshit. They know when you haven't thought through an idea, and as I can with them. I think that, you know, like all friendships and relationships in life, we go through cycles and stages. And I think I'm a loyal person, and I love working with similar people. But then I also love to bring in wild cards, people that we don't know. And sometimes that's a necessity depending on what the play requires. But so, I'm open because obviously if I go into something like an opera, then I'm not necessarily casting that. And a musical may require different talents. So we might have to go out and find people. You know, it's all different.
So you went to NIDA. You also studied overseas in New York. How did that influence your work?
I did some professional development with the City Company that's led by Anne Bogart, who's a very gifted and inspired teacher as well as theatre director. And every year, well, up until this year, I mean, everything's changing now, isn't it?
Gosh.
They run an international masterclass across what would be their summer, which is our winter. And you can go to America for 4 to 6 weeks and really work in an intense way with a company and embrace their creative practices, etc. The reason I did that was, look, if you're freelancing all the time, and just if you're working a lot, or if you're just creatively engaged, I mean, everybody needs new inspiration, a new fire. I'm a great believer in, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And I was looking for an opportunity to really sharpen up my directing vocabulary, to really be challenged, and for people to move me outside my comfort zone. And I sought that out. I discovered that there was a woman called Anne Bogart who'd written a book called On Directing, and I discovered that she was alive and well. So I did some research and I went, okay, I think I want to go and do that. And so I did. And look, and it was really great. It's really great to see your work from the outside or from a different perspective. Mm. Going to America or going anywhere. I mean, look, I think Australians travel a lot for their professional development, and it's really great seeing how other people do things, not necessarily by way of comparison, but it just gives you, it opens up your eyes, you know. Mm. I think that's just great.
Do you think you had like mentors or guides or people that kind of saw something in you and helped you in a way? I'd like to honour people if we can.
Coming from Tassie, I never really had creative mentors at all. But the legacy of that has been that I like to think of myself as a very strong mentor, mm. and I really enjoy that relationship with emerging artists or even people who are well on the way. I love that creative conversation and sharing. I mean, it's a way that I learn and keep current as well. So although I haven't had strong mentors myself, I'm certainly offering myself as that to people all the time. I really like that relationship.
And you're listening to Stages, and we are talking with director Kate Gall. You've worked across so many different theatres, like from Opera Australia, Ensemble Theatre, ATYP. You've worked as festival directors and Mardi Gras creative parades. Like, how is it kind of moving between these worlds? And what was it like working on the parade? What a fun job.
Well, I think when you're freelancing, you probably can't afford to be too fussy. But the great thing about freelancing is that you can plan to work with one company at the first half of the year and maybe do something else in the second half of the year, which, of course, it would be nice to be the artistic director of a fully established company too. But it's just the workload is just so completely different. And I found ways of sustaining myself through that process, not only sort of financially, but also, I guess, emotionally and energetically, because it can be quite grinding. Yeah, look, I sort of fell into the Mardi Gras parade, and that's a long story. But look, it's the longest red carpet in the world. You've got the biggest stage and one of the biggest audiences. Who wouldn't want to do that? Totally. It was so much fun. It is quite demanding, and obviously your cast are all volunteers, and you're working around people's abilities and also people's time restrictions, and, you know, you're working with human beings. It is a great community event, and there is nothing better. I say, if you can get yourself on a float, do it. But I had the good fortune to be able to direct, I guess, lead float and closing float, and just work with some really great choreographers and creative people, and just being with, townsfolk who are just so incredibly engaged in this one big night. Look, there's nothing like it. It is entirely unique.
Imagine. Gosh. Is there a particular production that you're kind of like most proud of or was most challenging in the year?
I tend to think of everything on a bit of a continuum. I don't think of, oh, that was great.
I've reached my peak.
There's nothing else. I go, okay, you know, the correct answer to that question is, oh, my next show will be the best one. Or, you know, I just feel like, I tend not to think of those glory moments. I just, because, you know, in 10 years' time, something that you thought was glorious, you'll look back on it and go, actually, I have learned an awful lot more now about the theatre or about working on that kind of material. It was probably a very naive production. It's so ephemeral, and we're changing all the time and responding to our environment. And I guess I just tend not to have faves.
Favorite children. You say you like working particularly with text-based work. Is there something that you particularly draws you? What are your inspiration? What are the things that, you know?
Look, language creates worlds. Mm-hmm. Language can tell you a lot about a culture. It can tell you everything about a person and a character. My degree from university is in literature, so it's probably not a surprise that then I would fall into wanting to work with words in the theatre. a playwright like Enda Walsh, for example. He's an Irish playwright. I've done a number of his works, Mr. Man, Penelope, The New Electric Ballroom. He sort of what drives him as a playwright is the understanding that we create worlds entirely from words. So this is, I just find this a very exciting sort of notion. But then I guess the power of language in the theatre. I mean, just hearing a really great, say, for example, Shakespearean play, a really, really well done text, it can be so exhilarating. You don't even need to catch everything to be, have the excitement of the rhythm of that sound.
Mm. So what was meant to be happening now had things not shut down?
I would have been on the plane probably going to Edinburgh again.
Oh, no.
Literally, I probably would have been on the plane, if not yesterday, today.
Oh,
this
wow.
is definitely the time. I try to get there just before August because it's all kicks off the first weekend of August. Regrettably, I am very sorry to miss that trip, but I hope, fingers crossed, that next year we'll be able to just move what we were going to do to that slot. I was working with Tom Campbell. Tom Campbell's written a play for himself. We've been to Edinburgh before with work,
yes.
but we've never taken anything original before. So we had a lovely venue lined up and everything was ready to go. But next year, it'll have to be next year.
Yes, there's a lot of next years going on, aren't there? And there were other there are other things that were supposed to tour this year as well for you. So what have you been doing then?
Well, I was very lucky before we hit that first lockdown in March.
Yeah.
Two of the biggest things I had planned for this year had just completed, and one of them was the New South Wales tour of HMS Pinafore, mm-hmm. which I did at the Hayes last year. So, look, I was so fortunate to get that tour done, and also I do a big play reading and writing program for Mardi Gras, and that, of course, had also completed. Apart from a big adventure to Edinburgh, which, of course, is the most time-consuming thing, I had some student productions. They have both moved to the second half of the year now, so I'm hoping that, fingers crossed, we'll all be able to be in the room together.
Because you write as well. I mean, when did you start writing? I wondered if you were, you know, spending time in that capacity.
I haven't written a lot, but I would like, and I would like to write more. I just think it's a natural, if you're loving language and yeah. you're in the rehearsal room loving the words of other writers, that you're going to, at some point, give it a go yourself. In the same way that as a stage manager, I sat beside a director for many years watching their
yeah.
work. At some point, I just thought, just let me do it. Let me have a go. So I sort of feel like writing would be the final frontier. But like most things, one needs to be inspired and possibly needs a strong deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's none of those going on. You said actually early on that when you were studying that you worked out or you saw what the industry was like and that drove you to come to Sydney. What is the industry like?
I think it can be very small and insular.
Mm.
I think it's also, it can be often inaccessible.
Yeah.
And if you understand what the limits of something is in your own town, I guess you can try and change that, or you can just move to somewhere where the boundary posts are a little bit wider. But, you know, one of the things that I've really liked about the lockdown, if there's anything to like, is the amount of theatre and opera and dance that we're able to watch on screen, because what that means is so many more people have access to this really extraordinary work that will never come to Australia. And we possibly may never get to Europe or to South America or to Africa or any of these places where this work is coming from. And access is really important for me, mm. you know, yeah.
It has opened the world up. So that brings me to you post such great things and we need to honour you.
Thank you. Please honour me.
We do. We mention you when we take something from your post because they're just fantastic. What is something, you know, that's coming up or something that you've seen that has, like, been outstanding for
you? I'll tell you what really, really grabbed me. Look, you know, yeah, so, like, every Monday I try to post a handful of things that I've heard about or I've heard about through a newsletter or a theatre company or an artist I subscribe to, something that they might be putting up. It might yeah. be something that was especially made for the web. It might be a recorded production or it might be something that's been modified. there's a lot of stuff happening in Australia, and sometimes I include that, but quite often I'm looking elsewhere to the things that we may not have heard of before. And I mean, I have seen everything from, you know, like quite bourgeois German theatre right through to some really wacky Polish stuff. But the thing that really intrigued and excited me was the Berliner Ensemble. Now, I haven't had the fortune to be inside that house, but I saw three or four of their works, which they live streamed very early on in the pandemic, and it completely blew me away. I think it was something to do with the aesthetic of the work at that theatre, the incredibly simple staging. I mean, I think all great work is discovered in a process of taking things away, but to have things that are so incredibly simple but have these really brilliant and rigorous ideas. And even when the performances weren't in English or there weren't subtitles, just the sweat on the brow of the actors as they really went for it. I mean, it just really excited me. And, yeah, I thought I'd had enough of German theatre. But no, I will say now, those productions will live in my memory for a long time.
So if you were going to give advice to someone that wanted a career in theatre, and you say it's very insular, like it's hard to penetrate, what advice would you give?
Well, persistence is the key, I think, to most things in life. And, you know, you can extrapolate on that word from everything to needing 10,000 hours of practice at something to become anywhere near an expert, right through to that constant digging or that constant taking away. I think that Chekhov probably has the last word in The Seagull. I think he says something like, "We must endure." It's not about fame or fortune or any of that stuff. It's the more that you dig into the theatre, the more you find out why you're doing it and what you want to share. And it's a journey that takes place through time. And you're not going to be the same when you're 40 as when you were 20, thankfully. And you have to be prepared for a very rich and varied journey.
Well, on that note, and as we persist online and endure online in the meantime, Kate Gall, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me. Okay.
Well, that was Kate Gall, artistic director of her own company, Siren Theatre Company. She's a director, playwright, festival director. She's worked with Opera Australia, Pinchgut Opera, and so many other places, as we've mentioned. Jump online and have a look at her Facebook site. It's really worth catching all the great things she recommends.